This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, baby. We are back. I won't say we're better than ever, though. The Lions are coming off a brutal 41-34 game in LA, losing Matt Stafford and the Rams, blowing a 24-14 or 24-17 halftime lead. We're getting to all that, but before we do, let's get introduce Blue Kool-Aid Crew that is here on Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got Red Dog.
Yo.
UJ.
Greetings, fans.
And our producer Kid J might have some thoughts. He's sitting off to the side as well.
Yeah, he's got some thoughts.
And might have led up to the bet that they made at the end of the last episode, which we'll put at the end of this episode. All right. So... This is a tough one.
Yeah.
Because I thought, and we were talking about right before, I also agreed. I thought Jared Goff played a very, very good game in this one for the most part.
Agreed.
And we scored 34 points, which is great. Our defense was horrible. Now, so bad. And the thing that concerns me the most and worries me the most is the same thing I said after the Vikings game, too. We got our ass kicked up front. In the run game,
yep.
This game and the game ended that way too. They kicked our ass when we needed to get a stop and get the ball back. UJ,
yes.
What is going on with this Lions defensive front?
Well, it's really hard to pinpoint. I mean, obviously they got their asses kicked and beat straight up in the run game. Derek Barnes was terrible in this game. No one could keep an edge. They broke. I don't know how many runs they just broke. They hand off at the middle, and the guy breaks outside, and there's no one on the edge, and he has a big gang core him a couple times, and it was just rough. It seemed like playing that run game, it's an attitude thing. The defense, and right now the defense doesn't have it. They're lacking there. Aleem McNeil's really not doing much, and my biggest disappointment, and I was all for him in the beginning of the season, was Davenport. He's been awful. He's got three games left to prove himself to earn his next contract if he's ever going to play again, because no one's going to sign him if he keeps playing like he is. Hutch played his ass off again, but he's one man. Muhammad did some good things, but the run, we just that's what killed us. I mean, if we could have stopped their run and kept them one-dimensional, we had a better chance in this game. But their run game was sort of that. I think that in a high-scoring game like this, it kind of put them over the edge. Their advantage in the run game, and it was extremely disappointing considering that we had one of the better run stopping defenses in the league this year, and boy, yep. You sure didn't look like it on Sunday. I don't know.
Yeah, Red Dog.
Yeah, I mean, I think our defense didn't play their best game, but I also think for whatever the points may say, they got hung out to dry by our offense just ghosting us in the third quarter. And I mean, this seems to be a very unpopular argument, but I'm sorry. I was very disappointed.
What's the offense?
So we gave 41 points because of the offense, just to clarify?
It didn't help in a boat race when your offense stopped scoring. You know, like we just stopped scoring.
Well, no, it doesn't help, but. That's not the
yeah,
reason.
But it was quick three and outs. It was like we were piling on to their time on field against a heavy offense that's good at laying it on you. Like you knew, like Stafford and that offense were gonna eventually start getting it going if they kept coming out on the field, and our offense was doing nothing to help the defense by long drives or otherwise. They were going three and out quick, and they were putting the defense right back out in front of that offense, and that's a good offense. And they run heavy with, like, a lot of tight ends and stuff, sort of like we do, to try to let those running backs get going. And, you know, they leaned into that, and they were on the field, like 90% of the time. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying the defense couldn't have played better, but I think the offense disappearing for a full quarter of football did not help us win that game. In fact, was like when that game was lost.
Yeah, that's a good point, Rudd Dog. That's a good point. I mean, it's just to further that point just slightly. I think part of it was play calling by Campbell on a few occasions and total lack of tight ends. We don't even have any tight ends anymore, it seems like. So, I mean, we're just lacking in a few areas there. And in this game, Campbell should have just abandoned
defense.
He should have abandoned the run completely. It was useless.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the one drive, close. They did three straight runs. Like, what is
that draw to Gibbs that everyone saw coming?
The
like,
draw.
I don't know.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is one of those games.
It was just a bad call.
It looked like they saw it coming because they caught it. They got at him as he was getting the handoff. So, sorry, go ahead.
No. He just seemed so determined to make the run work eventually, but it wasn't working. And, you know, sometimes you just got to go with what's working, and the best weapon we had was Goff and our receivers. That was the best weapon we had.
Yeah, and that's what frustrated me when right before that draw, my literal words out loud to myself at my apartment were, "Oh, we could finally pass." and then we go and do that. And I'm just like, ah, and it's so painful to watch. It just gets like, I don't know what he imagined we would do to the middle of that defensive line. But we weren't doing it, and he seemed so stubborn to make us try to do it over and over again. And, like, not outside zones or anything. We were just kept trying to punch him up the middle.
Yeah.
And then, like, I would say, like, why not feed Monty? But we couldn't feed anybody because we had, like, a total of 9 plays. Because we fell apart, man, on offense, and that was frustrating.
Do you know who's the worst rated offensive player in the game?
Worst?
Cologne.
Cologne, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna say
Colin.
Yeah.
I was gonna guess him.
Not good. The interior of the Lions' offensive line continues to hurt.
they're an enigma. Yeah. I mean, obviously they're struggling with injuries and stuff like that. But they actually gave Goff a bit of time in this game, and Goff was able to. He got hit a few times.
Especially
he only got sacked
once,
I think, and was able to get off a lot of passes, avoid the rush a few times. So in pass protection, they were actually okay. But, man, no run push at all. They were getting owned on that line of scrimmage. It's terrible.
Absolutely. And in the third quarter, Doug, J-Mo drops a deep pass that Goff made a beautiful throw on, too. they did have an opportunity to make a big play in the third quarter.
The way he caught it, like, I can understand why he dropped it. Was there a better way, though? Like, the way he caught it on, like, his head? Like,
you can attract it better, obviously.
Well, because he gets paid $90 million to catch balls like that. You just catch it.
I mean, he was still really good in the game. But
He was really good.
It looked
there's
like
always
a
one, it seems, every game with him.
The way it went down, it looked like a tough catch to me. So, like, everyone's being so hard on J-Mo, and, like, I guess his receiver got two hands on the ball. So I guess he deserves it. But, like, that still just looked like a really hard catch to control the way he was falling. And so maybe that's just he needed better.
Yeah.
I had one uncomfortable J-Mo moment in that game, too, though, when the Lions were struggling really bad at one point, and they cameraed over to the sidelines, and there's J-Mo, like, laughing his ass off at something, like, telling a joke. I don't know what was going on, but it was, like, really bad timing, you know, like, we were having real problems here, and J-Mo was out there laughing his ass off. Like, it just didn't
look good. He's having fun.
I'm sure it's no big deal, but I'm reading more into that than it's there. But it just was curiously bad timing with the camera.
Are you becoming a curmudgeon-y fan?
I am. Well, why not? Someone's got to be.
No, drink the Kool-Aid.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid right now. I'm drinking it. So,
do you know who is our worst? Do you know who is our worst-rated defensive player?
Barnes.
Ooh.
Oh, come on! This should be an easy one.
Is it?
DJ Reed.
Hallett.
Thank you. DJ
Reed was.
My goodness, was he horrible.
He
in
was
this
terrible.
Game. What are we paying this man for? This is two games in a row. He is complete shit.
He was terrible
on the defense side of the ball.
Say it harder, Z.
What is really going on with this guy? He can barely stay on his feet. I don't know what's going on, but it's frustrating. Connor is in our chat, like, complaining about Amik Robertson. I'd rather Amik Robertson on our number one versus DJ Reed. DJ Reed can go play the fourth wide receiver.
Amik's been our best playmaker in the secondary. And, like, he sets up turnovers. He does stuff all the time.
He made a few plays in this game. He got toasted a couple times, too, but so did everybody in this
But, I mean, that's like they're battlers. Our corners.
Even when Amik's like giving up the catch, he's making it like a really like a hard catch to make. Well, like, like he's making a battle for it. But DJ Reed just like, 5 yards of separation. I don't know what is going on with this dude.
The one that gets me is like when it's like a deep route and he just is shook off by like a little like butt wiggle, and like it's like I get like if these big receivers are out jumping him and stuff and he's getting like 50-50 balls, but aren't you like isn't the whole thing about being an undersized corner that like you don't lose pace with these guys and like you can run in their hip pocket and at least be there to challenge the ball, but meanwhile he's getting just left behind by Puka Nacua. Though Puka Nacua does seem sort of like Superman sometimes.
He does. Yeah, he did in this game.
It's unbelievable. It still doesn't make sense how he fell to the fifth round in the NFL draft.
I know.
It's sort of like Amara.
Hey, I got another question, though. Like, our defense, we seem so just firmly set on just playing man all the time, or 90% of the time. Why aren't we, you know, we're not getting the pass rush. Let's play a little more zone. Let's mix it up a little more. And they don't know how to play zone. Or they just are so stubborn and reluctant they don't want to play zone.
Aren't we getting gashed in zone by Stafford?
Well, we're getting gashed playing man. We're getting toasted, like, regularly. It's just
switch it up. Yeah. Do something.
Yeah, something. You know, we're
not having. Do you think that
people seem to be figuring out Kelvin Shepard lately?
Injuries have finally caught up to us on defense, where it's just hard to make up for.
There's some injuries, but every team's got like the injuries we have, and not putting up shitty performances like this.
Two all-pro safeties gone, and I mean, I guess we still got some cornerbacks, though we have lost quite.
But Stafford was barely under pressure this game again. This is a common theme. Marcus Davenport was the second worst-rated defensive player. He was supposed to be our solution to the opposite DN. He's been a complete no-show since he has returned.
Very disappointing. That was a big.
Muhammad had like one pressure in this game. He went back to being completely non-factor in the pass rush again. The only reason we had a turnover is because Hutch made an incredible play to start this game.
That was
sick.
That was so fun watching him turn the Jets on and run as hard as he could, man.
Oh, man, you got to score.
Honestly, that's the thing I'm mad about the most in this game. We wasted a great play like that.
Well, we scored on the next play.
Yeah,
so,
but it didn't count to a dub. You know, it's like,
turnovers seem few and far between for us.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Like the defense, like the offense, almost let us fall right out of the game ass first, like right out the gate. Like they went three and out, gave the Rams the ball, and then you get Hutch makes a big play, and then you know they spike some life into us, and we get woke up on offense finally, like. To me, that's where the offense is like getting like off the hook a lot here. Where I get why the defense is frustrating because it is, especially against a team like that.
But I have no faith we can win like a 10-3 game if we don't score 30 plus points. We're gonna lose. Like, so
Red Dog, if I may,
that's not a great way to live.
Can I interject for a second, Red Dog?
Go ahead.
Bates missed the field goal because you know how in the desert, you know it's California, so it's a little hotter. So they had to turn the air conditioning really, really high. So that's why the ball went so far left because the air conditioning really carried the ball, you know.
So anyway,
it happens a little bit. It happens in Ford Field every once in a while. But it happens especially in.
I thought everything goes left in California. Everything goes left in California.
Yeah, so I mean, Bates misses a pretty easy field goal too. So that was a factor as well on the first.
That
drive.
Wasn't the game changer though. I mean, I don't know.
I just find it really strange, Rod. You keep blaming the offense for all the defense's woes. I don't really understand the.
I get his point, though. They win.
I get that the offense is not performing every drive, but at some point, if you give up 40 points, it's.
It was a 17-point turnaround because our offense did nothing in the third quarter. I think we got 5 yards in the third quarter. We were up by 7, right?
A turnaround would be like,
and then we were down by 10.
We were going to score a touchdown.
We got the ball to start the second half, and what happened? We went immediately 3 and out. Immediately.
I get it. Well, the good thing that the defense had an entire halftime to rest, so there's no excuse there about the quick turnaround after that one.
It's just that they did nothing with anything.
By this logic.
Like, I know they scored some points early on, like that, but like that also was set up by the defense. Some of those points, like so, I mean, let's not be all like it's only the offense that scored these points. The defense set up the first seven points in this game.
Every time a defense gives up points, is it the offense's fault? Like that, if no, they don't score on the possession before it,
well, the
that's
defense
what you're saying in some regard here. That's
I'm saying our defense bizarre. Disappeared in a game where you couldn't afford to disappear. So,
well, we needed to score 50 points in this game to win.
Yeah,
and, like any points would have helped. Like
the Rams didn't have a lot of respect for our defense, and one of the things that proved it was they just kept kicking the ball out of the end zone, giving us the ball at 35. They didn't care. They just didn't care. We'll just boot it out of the end zone.
Offense?
Give them the ball at the 35. Who cares? Doesn't matter.
But they ended this game the way we ended the game against them last year, by bullying them in the run game. And it was complete opposite this year.
Yes.
I think that kind of says it all with the Lions in the second half of this season, in terms of how they've been bullied at the line of scrimmage.
I would say our defense looked pretty tough in the first half of that game. Like they did not make it look easy on – they were hitting Stafford. It was the second half where so that's why I'm like, yes, I'll give you the defense did not like get stops, but the offense disappeared, and then the defense, like the tough edge they were holding, fell loose and they were giving up points. I'm not going to deny that, but like you kind of knew you were going to need to keep up with Stafford a little bit, and our offense did not do that. So
yeah, well, this Campbell's,
it doesn't really matter.
Both Campbell's got a struggle
it's a
here.
Team loss.
Yeah, this is Campbell's struggle, though, because the D line is all about want to. It's all about desire and beating the other guy in front of you. And it just seems like every other game we have it, and every other game we don't. Like, we didn't have it in this game. They were just handily beating us at the line of scrimmage, and was frustrating, very frustrating. If you don't agree with that, Red Dog, I can see you don't agree with that. But I don't know. Just wasn't there. I mean, our edge was gone, man. I mean, there was some lazy play out there. And I don't know. Guys are taking the easy route, you know, going with the block and just not fighting through things. And it was just – the edge bothers me the worst. And I thought Barnes was terrible in this game.
I'll give you that one for damn sure.
He gave up a few of those. Davenport,
that was that
another
first
one.
Corum touchdown. It's just like just ran around the defense like there was no one to the left side to contain it at all.
It was frustrating.
And that happened a couple times. I'll give you that. Like, the defense had struggles. Like, I'm not denying it. And that's why it was a team loss, and it is what it is. You know, the defense fell – when the defense fell apart, the offense fell apart, and neither helped each other in the end. And you know, they battled back a little bit to make it look like a respectable game, at least.
Yeah. But I don't know. What else, D? Come on. Let's talk some positive stuff, though. There was some good stuff in this game, too.
So we scored 34 points.
Yes. Amon-Ra was unbelievable in this game. J-Mo was great in this game.
Both.
Goff was great in this game. Goff one of his better games, I think, here, despite all the adversity.
It was like a tale of halves.
It was. So
the first half feels like a long distant memory. Like that's
13 catches for 164 for Amon-Ra, two touchdowns. J-Mo 7 for 134 and one touchdown.
Yeah, really good.
They're targeted 27 of the 37.
If I'm not mistaken, the Rams only gave up 100-yard receiver all year before this game, and they gave up two in this game. If I'm not mistaken, but it was something like that. I read, but yeah, we did some good things with our passing game today. And Goff.
Yeah, and like you said, UJ they probably didn't lean into it enough, even though we only had 20 carries in this game.
I know.
But maybe it should have been 5 carries.
Well, sometimes you just got to go with what's working. I mean, the passing game was working. Keep doing it.
We only had 4 different receivers catch the ball. Raymond had 1 catch for 20 and Gibbs 4 for 20. The rest went to J-Mo.
They threw one to Tesla, which was not a good throw by Goff.
No.
Or he was looking at a back shoulder and Tesla was looking to the corner of the end zone or something. That might have been a miscommunication there, I think, maybe. But
are we really that crippled without Laporta and like the tight end? Like, is that really like?
Oh, you know
that,
it hurts.
I didn't realize it was that.
You know it hurts.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, even if you just took the blocking game, him and Wright, I mean, you get Zilcher and then I don't know who that other guy was who got the worst time. But
we just picked him up. Yeah. We just picked him up from the Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, our lack of tight ends is hurting us a lot, I think.
Yeah.
There's a stat about Tesla today I found interesting, but I'm trying to find it. I feel like
we need to get Tesla more involved. Like, shouldn't he be the one who fills the gap for the tight ends a little bit? Hell, I would use him like a tight end. He's built like one.
Well, we don't do that. It reminds me of my college days. We had this guy named Pete Metzelaars who was 6'9", tight end, and we never just, like, threw high passes to him in the end zone. It's just ridiculous. We had this weapon, and Pete went on to play, like, 15 years in the NFL, and, you know, they knew what to do with him.
Did they, though? Not everywhere, but, right?
It's just like we have this 6'4 receiver who can probably win a lot of jump balls, but we don't throw jump ball type passes. Like, we just avoid them.
It seems like.
Like, other teams do it all the time. Throw those back shoulder throws, throw those contested balls, and let your receivers try to win them. Receivers got the advantage usually, you know, 80% of the time. The defensive back has his head turned the wrong way. I mean, it's usually in our advantage for the receiver, and we just don't do that at all. I wish we would try that a little more. That's all. I think I'm with you.
Could be the next evolution of Goff's game. He's got to get like, because he's Mr. So, like clockwork. We need to get a little more improv in there.
Well, and it's funny because actually the stat I wanted to share says the opposite about Tesla actually and his impact on the Lions offense. The Lions offense since week 10, with Isaac Tesla on the field, 205 plays, 40% offensive success rate and 39.8% passing success rate. That's 28th and 23rd in the league. When he's off the field, 50.5% offensive success rate and 50% passing success rate, second and fifth best in the NFL. A wide gap.
Yeah, that's because when he's on the field, he just takes up space because they don't throw to him. He's just wasting his spot. Why do we even have him on there?
So weird.
I don't know. It just frustrates me sometimes.
But I will say about Campbell, since he took over play calling, the Lions are the most explosive offense in the NFL. By explosive, I mean explosive plays.
That's true.
They lead the NFL in explosive plays since Dan Campbell started taking over the offense, which makes sense because we didn't see much of that when Johnny Morton was calling the plays.
That's true. I don't think Johnny Morton's going back to play calling anytime soon.
We'll see if he's around after the season.
That actually seemed like when like our offense kind of like just didn't recover for the third quarter when they took that deep shot at J-Mo in the second half and then they whiffed and then like the next play was a pass and they missed and then it's just like they actually did like pass right out the gate but like they were big shots and they missed and then it was all of a sudden it was third down and then it was turnover and down, you know, kicking, punting. And we never recovered.
Yeah, they missed that. They missed that because, like, right after halftime, I was a little nervous that I'm because the Lions forced them to punt and they just couldn't capitalize. They would have had them pretty good.
A couple other interesting stats, I thought. So the Lions' 33.3% rushing success rate against the Rams this week was ninth lowest in the Dan Campbell era. For context, the highest in that span was 77.4%, which was week one of last year against the Rams. So what a long way these two teams have come in both directions in that regard.
Yeah.
And the other one I wanted to mention was the Lions run defense. They allowed a 69%, like I said, complete reverse. I just said 77% against the Rams last year. The Rams had a 69% offensive rushing success rate against us this past week, which was the worst game in the Dan Campbell era rush defensive wise.
Yeah.
Not good when you're pretty much your season's on the line in a lot of regards.
Yeah.
Nope. Because the Lions playoff, we haven't brought up yet, but the Lions playoff odds are hovering around like 36-37% to make it. If they win out, it's 95% for the Athletic model. But either way, the Lions' fate is not in their hands currently.
No, but you know what?
Start some rooting.
I will say, though, I think they still have a really good chance of getting in. If you look at the rest of their schedule,
well, yeah, they do.
I think Pittsburgh's beatable. I think the Vikings are beatable, and I think the Bears are beatable. So if we win out, that means we beat the Bears one of those times. The Bears play the 49ers and the Packers. We could actually pass the Bears before this season's over.
Well, the Bears are the best chance to get in, them losing.
Well, percentage-wise, yeah. But, I mean, if you look at their – they also have the toughest remaining schedule left in the league of all the teams
right.
in the league. So
we need to take care of our own business
right.
and hope that
exactly.
we handle it in the last week of the season.
That's all we can do.
Yeah. I mean, we're still a good team, okay? We're not an elite team like
saying,
we were
yeah.
last year. I mean, we got problems. We obviously have issues. But on any given day, we can beat almost any team in this league. And then, and you look even against the Rams, well, we lose by a touchdown or whatever. We're barely losing the games we lose. I mean, we're not getting blown out in any game this year. And you could probably bring it back to, like Campbell says, like one or two plays that can turn the game around. Like, and we're on the wrong end of those this year more often than we like. And you know, but that could easily go the other way too. So I'm not giving up hope on this team yet. But we still got a good shot at this thing.
Heck no.
I don't think
any of us are giving up hope. And our frustrations come from the fact that this is such. We believe in this, like this team, that they could go far, and it's just so frustrating when they.
It is.
Play like crap.
It is frustrating,
you know. The
especially
funny,
where they have strengths. There's no reason this front seven should be getting worked over for 5.5 yards a carry.
No.
The people who called for losses, like in our schedule or this year, are now like having to deal with the actual feeling of getting those losses. Hey, you said we had to lose like 6 games, like whatever. Like,
well, yeah, I know.
Now this is what it feels like.
Yeah, it's tough when you're going through it, though, you know. So like, if we come out on the other end, it'll be like, hey, but it's really hard going through it, though.
So, I mean, I think we hit a stride here and go win these next 3 games. We could have great momentum going into a wild card game in the playoffs and maybe get to take on, like, probably not the Packers. Packers probably have to be, like, the one seed for us to get in, don't they? Like, they have to beat the Bears.
Hey,
and
the way I look at it, if we get in the playoffs, it doesn't matter who the hell we play. Because
yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at. Yeah, like,
I think,
yeah, I just want to get to the playoffs at this point.
Yes, it doesn't even matter. Bring on the best, man. Who cares?
The Packers lost Micah Parsons for the year.
Yeah, saw that.
And Christian Watson had to go to the hospital with a chest thing, but he seems fine. I don't know if he's going to play. But either way, they got really banged up in their loss. They also have a tough remaining schedule. They play, obviously, the Bears. Then they play the Ravens and then the Vikings. So, at Minnesota.
Who is that?
That's the Packers. So, they could be in some trouble with their injuries as well. The Packers and Bears play on Saturday in Chicago. That'll be a fascinating watch.
It will be.
I'm not sure who to root for because I hate.
I know
both.
I hate them both.
Probably the Bears to lose, because if the Bears lose one and the Lions win, then the Lions' destiny is back in their hands.
Yes. So
that's
probably
the best scenario.
Root for
it.
That's all I can say.
Like, I don't know if a tie. As funny as that would be, I should root for or not. But
I just need to win out. That's all that matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters. Win and then.
But I'll tell you what, if they win out,
but they gotta get some help.
They could be very dangerous with the right kind of momentum. Like, I think their O line can find another level in the playoffs, and we could really. And say, like, I'm not that worried about our defense. I mean, sure, that wasn't their best football, and they got. But like, the Rams had a good game plan for us, and I think they did some things we weren't quite expecting. The way they ran the ball, like they were getting space in the run game that. You just hadn't seen any team really get on us before. And
I don't know. We saw the Vikings do it a couple weeks ago. That was I had the same frustrations.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
We know they can play better than that.
Yeah, they got to light a fire under a couple guys on that defense, though. Barnes being one of them. Davenport being another one. And Aleem McNeil, too, really. I think he could be a lot.
Who?
Aleem McNeil.
Who's that?
Oh, stop it.
Does he play for the Lions? Who's that?
Yeah, but he struggled too.
Oh, he must be a veteran on a minimum contract, right?
You know, maybe this is part of the coming back from injury thing. I don't know, but he's had a few games back. He should be full tilt now. I mean, maybe a little more Rodrigo.
We paid him $97 million.
Maybe a little more Rodrigo in there instead of Barnes, maybe. Barnes has struggled the last couple of games in my eyes. I mean, but in this game, he definitely did. But I don't know. They got to start lighting a fire under these guys a little bit somehow. You know, make them fear for their jobs or something. But there's got to be something that Campbell's got to do to motivate these guys. This defense, you see when they're motivated, like they went against a red hot Cowboys team and just destroyed them. I mean, when they're properly motivated, it seems like they find that extra thing. They were not motivated in this game properly.
It looked like we came out strong in the game, but then we fell off as like they just.
Right, we were winning
apart
at halftime of this game.
Yes,
to me,
we gave up an.
It's a whole
two plays. We gave up a field goal at the end of the first half. That was frustrating too. Almost a touchdown.
A game,
that would have been really ridiculous.
They made it. They were making Stafford and Co. have to work really hard in that first half, and like I just think eventually the near misses and like everything kept starting, you know, because like Stafford, they're running those like boot plays that run you out, and then like you think you're getting there, but then Stafford just drops it off to the guy out and running, you know, mirroring him at the line, and like they're those kinds of plays eventually just get so frustrating, and they're all with like three tight ends throwing their weight around out there. It's a heavy D offense to fight, and they're good offense with good players that you have to contend with, and I think some of that was just that in this game. Not that that excuses it all, but I think, you know, maybe that was one of the last lessons of the regular season they needed, because you're not going to – that's going to be – that could be the NFC Championship game right there, you know, facing Stafford and Co. again. That offense and the way they're playing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the one seed. They play the Seahawks on Thursday night this week. That'll pretty much be for the one seed that game. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
KJ, are you confident in the Rams winning that one?
This against the Seahawks? Yeah, I think I'm yep. confident. It's just a little nervous. Makes me a little nervous that Davante Adams is out, but I think they can win.
Pulled the hammy. Yep.
Yeah, that's a tough injury, man.
It's the one thing the Lions did. They hurt Davante, even though they didn't touch him on the play. But, you know.
Yeah.
With their mind.
Yeah, Puka went out in a weird way in that game, too, but then he was right back in the game.
He goes out once every game, and then he comes back. Yeah. It's almost like it's theatrical at this point for him.
What is that person? He's such a freak.
He is a freak, okay.
So I might have to go, like, watch. I'm so frustrated by this. Like, I mean, we're recording this a day after I haven't had time, but I just want to know what happened in this run defense. I'm so frustrated and mystified by how poor it was. I think Davenport had something to do with that too.
Yes, great.
As well. I guess the one highlight of the defense, besides the Hutch play, was that Roy Lopez got a sack. That was fun to see.
That was fun to see.
He continues to be better than the guy who paid $90 million.
Jack Campbell continues to be excellent. 14 tackles, I think, 10 solo tackles.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
He's a beast.
He's so good. But he can't.
Our backup safety, Hallett, had 10 tackles in this game.
Yeah, I know. That was crazy, too.
Actually, you talk about the safeties being I think Maddox has been one of our better defenders lately.
Yes.
I actually like Maddox, yeah.
I don't think he's been – that's not been the issue. I think our front seven is the biggest issue. Not even the linebackers, I guess. I mean, Barnes. But the D-line.
I don't know.
Same story over and over. But
Hallett had 10 tackles.
Darn it, we're going to go get a second rounder again that just doesn't do anything.
Hallett,
I'm just frustrated by Brad Holmes' strategy to solve the other side of the edge.
You're a Brad Holmes hater now, too?
Not a hater. I'm frustrated with some of the things.
Well, the strategy
he's done.
Didn't
when
pay
we
out.
When it's very obvious. It's very obvious.
So being a hopeful person, and Devin,
like, what if the why couldn't the Lions if the Lions, why couldn't the Lions trade for Jalen Phillips, who went
good,
to the Eagles
good
and
point.
Been crushing it? There's like little things like that, you know.
Yeah. Well, being hopeful, I was hopeful about Davenport early in the season. He's been a complete disappointment, but. I'm going to renew that hope for the last three games and hopefully finds himself here in the last three games and wake up.
Micah Parsons?
Wake up, baby. And then, yeah.
Is he still going to beat Micah Parsons in sacks?
I don't think he's going to beat anybody in sacks. This year. Who knows?
He's got one.
Yeah, well.
When he got hurt the first time.
Hey, at least we taught something to our listeners today. There's a player on our team. His name is Lee McNeil. He plays defensive line.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
And we pay him $55 million guaranteed.
And you a hater, you a hater.
Overall over 4 years.
Number one hater.
I tried drinking a Kool-Aid on him for weeks,
and it has not gone well for me. You're so funny.
So now I'm going to...
It just reminds me back in the early days of Anzalone. You go, he's terrible. He's the worst thing that ever happened to this team, Anzalone.
Hold on. We gave Anzalone some credit, though, because our D-line was so bad. He's put in a bad position to succeed, and then when we finally started getting some
Wow, you're sugarcoating guys, the way your better. Memory of this thing, because you really hated him. You just
that was
really
always,
hated him.
Yeah. That was always the caveat in that. Absolutely.
Well, there were caveats, UJ. There was caveats.
Okay.
Well, he wasn't playing good, but
we said
it was probably because his upfront people were not being – like your linebackers are only as good as the people in front of you for the most part.
I'm just saying when you target someone, Z, it's hard to, you know. Lee McNeil's going to have to do a lot to get off your shit list. I'll tell you that a lot.
Yeah, are there caveats for
not a lot. He doesn't have to do a lot. He just has to do something. I just want him to do something. I think he had one pressure in this game. Yeah. So I guess
he's out there battling. That's something.
On the
right
Roy Lopez one, Stafford couldn't escape to his left because Aleem got some pressure.
What's something mean if a pressure doesn't count?
I said technically, I guess that's something.
Oh yeah. What are you asking for here, Z?
Well, I want
more something.
I want him to show up as a guy that's being paid top dollar at the position. I want him to make impact plays, get a sack, get a couple tackles for loss in the run game.
Well, they're battling.
You're not wrong, Z. You're not wrong. These guys are getting paid big money. They should be making plays. You're right about that.
Oh yeah, so you make it sound so easy.
I know.
I'm not saying it's easy. But he's getting paid because it's not easy, and he's supposed to be making it better. So, and he's not. He's not. He's not.
Big Z, so demanding.
I know so, you guys mentioned Hallett had 10 tackles, but noticed he might have to retire because he got put on skates by Stafford when Stafford like stepped up in the pocket and tried to scramble a little bit. He slipped right over. It's like, whoo.
So, yeah.
That's right. Stafford didn't go anywhere anyways on the play, really. So, Colby Parkinson, two touchdowns from him, including one that was a really good call by the referees.
Oh, my God, Z.
I know you have some thoughts on the ref.
Worst call.
The play call there.
That was obviously a no catch. And all the apologists and the league, you know, the announcers, they have to be on the league side or they lose their jobs, and they try to make excuses for these things. That tip of the ball actually hit the ground when he came down. He didn't have it locked in his arm. The ball, he landed on top of it, and then he rolls in the end zone. He didn't have possession. It should have been down on the one, but no, he didn't have possession until he got into the end zone. Explain that. If it was a catch, I don't know. So, It is bullshit. It's another horrible call against the Lions, and we just get too many of these. And it's not just the Lions. There's these calls over the league, and it's frustrating. It makes the game so hard to watch when the refs are terminating games on their bad calls. It's just so bad. I'm sorry.
It's really mystifying when they ruin a call that's being challenged and looked at like that. It's different like in real time, but when they actually stop the game to review this and then make the incorrect decision, it blows your mind. I disagree a little bit about the clear and obvious that it wasn't a catch. I didn't think it was clear and obvious, so like I was fine with it being ruled a catch, actually. But the fact that they ruled it a touchdown was very bizarre. Not that I think it would have stopped anything.
But their explanation defies their description of what happened. So if he caught the ball,
well, right,
he was not in the end zone. He was at the half yard line or wherever it was. And then they say he rolled into the end zone where he gained full possession or something like that. But the ball was not even in his hand. The tip of the ball hit the ground which you could see on the video, which means the ground helped him catch that ball. And then he rolls in the end zone. Then he has possession of the ball in the end zone. Then it's a touchdown. It doesn't even make sense. The whole explanation make sense.
I can see it. I can see that argument.
It doesn't make sense.
It's the aliens, it's, dude.
It's so ridiculous, man. It's just like, you know, like the aliens. It's like they say, you know, a man says he's a woman or something. He's obviously a man, you know, like you just, you're just supposed to believe it because we said so. No, it's just not. It's just, it's our eyes are not lying to us. This is, it's.
Don't believe your lying like, eyes.
They're trying to tell us something that our eyes are not seeing what actually happened. They're trying to convince us otherwise. It's all brainwashing and stuff. It's terrible.
Did you watch any ACC football games this year, UJ?
A few.
Did you see like how they in the challenge when they have a challenge or a review they actually like play the back and forth for like with the reviewers in like New York or wherever?
Yes, I did see that.
Why doesn't the NFL do that? Why the non-transparency?
I agree. Let's do something else. Let's do something, and just do something. And there's some of these obvious calls. I mean, we're going back again, like we talked to last. But like the stuff you obviously see on TV, like that offside penalty last week against Green Bay. And then you can obviously see on film the guy hadn't called the timeout. And then so, obvious stuff that everyone in the country sees when they're watching the game. And the guys in New York can just easily say, no, hey, that it was wrong, you know, fix it. But no, they don't. They just, what's wrong?
I think they should just get rid of all rules. Get rid of all rules and, like, have it be, like, just, like, Savage Land football, like just have it like
you know that's not even like, a bad idea. I'd prefer that over with this horrible roughing that's going on right now. It's terrible.
More touchdowns. Terrible. And if you lose, you get.
I want the Lions to make the Super Bowl and then have one of these calls so they can expose the conspiracy to 100 million plus people at once.
You know, and every time one of these catches or say is a catch, I always think back to the Calvin Johnson catch against the Bears that was ruled a no catch. I my mind still goes back to that catch, that where he caught the ball, went on the ground, his butt hit, his elbows hit, his knees hit, everything. He turns around to get up and puts the ball on the ground and slips out of his hand. And they call it incomplete. And then now, I mean, it doesn't even make sense, the stuff they call catches now. They still don't know what a catch is in the NFL. It's ridiculous. It's so
right. I don't know if you saw the
it's
Ravens.
Whatever the
Steelers
league needs
game the week
it
before.
To be, UJ, for the scriptwriters.
I don't know if you saw the Ravens Steelers game the week before. The guy caught it, took three steps even, and then like got the ball knocked out of his hands, and then it ruled a touchdown. But if he caught that on the sideline and dragged 2 feet, and like.
Yeah,
then it would have been a catch. This makes no sense.
No sense at all. They still don't know what a catch is in the NFL. I mean, come on.
It shouldn't be hard.
It shouldn't be.
I don't know why it's so difficult. It's just mystifying. I've used that word a lot in this podcast. Mystified. Yeah, mystified by our defensive
mystified,
front.
Mystified by the referees. Me. Oh, yeah.
So, Z, are you still holding out hope for this season? Are you thinking this defense doesn't have it? Is that what you're saying?
I'm holding out hope for the season. I think we, like UJ said, we should be favored in the next three games the rest of the way. Well, I'm not sure about in Chicago, but that'll be a close one. But I think we will be favored in all three games the rest of the way. So, I mean, there's no reason that we shouldn't handle our business other than we shoot ourselves in the foot type of deal, or we just get our ass kicked up front again.
Yeah.
But a lot's going to be, I mean, Lions have they're at home for Steelers, and we're going to Minnesota, and it's going to be a short week for that one. So
the way I look at next
we're
going to
know
in.
A lot in 10 days about our season here.
When the next
we never
three
should
we're
have
in.
Lost to Minnesota the first.
What's that, Roduck?
So we should have never lost to Minnesota the first time.
Nope, but we got our ass kicked up front
remember
on the defense.
That.
Yeah.
Front. So that won't be an easy game either, although we're out for revenge in that one.
I think
well,
I
hopefully
like
this old line has gelled enough to be able
well,
to
hopefully the Cologne project is over up. And we go to Miles Frazier.
Did Miles? Did he play?
I didn't see him much in that game. I was looking for him, but I can't remember if I actually saw him in the game. But him
right
or Mahogany.
Miles Frazier played 13 snaps.
I'll take him or Mahogany over the Cologne right now.
You full anti-cologne now, huh?
Well, you know, I do use cologne in the morning when I before I go to work. I put a little on, you know, because I don't want to smell bad. But, you know.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, Frazier played 13 snaps, Colin 51.
Yeah. Not too much this time.
Nope.
So I wonder who's calling those this who's playing and each play to play. Is Campbell deciding who goes in, who goes out? They got someone watching from the side saying
I mean I'm sure Haley. Hank Fraley has a large say in what's going on with that.
I would think so, yeah.
I don't think we give Fraley enough criticism here, too. At least with the run game. He's the run game coordinator. So anytime they're calling run plays, it should be going through him and him giving his best recommendations. And when we put up these did you see Gibbs' touchdowns by game in, like, the last seven? It's 0-3-0-3-0. He's either going all out or he's doing absolutely nothing in the touchdown game.
Hey,
it's just so fun.
To be fair, though, the Rams seemed to – they said, we're just going to take Gibbs out of the game, and they keyed on him the whole freaking game. They were not going to let Gibbs hurt him. And it's, we talked about that, Red Dog, in the old day, you know, how the Patriots used to take out their best weapon. You take out your opponent's best weapon, and they – I think they totally keyed on just taking Gibbs out of this game. That was their philosophy, and it worked too, because they really did. They were all over him on every single play.
Probably.
So, like, why couldn't the Lions do it with Puka? Like, just double him. Yeah. Let someone else beat you.
Good point. Did.
Like, fourth down.
Good point.
Who do you think they're going to on fourth down? They had those. The defense couldn't. Are you going to blame the offense because the defense couldn't get off on 2 fourth downs early on, Red Dog? Is that the offense's fault?
Say that 10 times fast.
I mean, the defense had two great opportunities to get them off the field and give the offense good field position and didn't do it either.
I'm not going to blame everything on the defense. I mean, the defense on the offense, everything's – it's the defense didn't play their best game either. I've said that. The offense, though, like that third quarter, honestly, that was it. It was the black hole of a third quarter, 5 yards in a quarter. Well, like that was
well. At least they played 3 good quarters. The defense played 0 good quarters.
I know. Well, like it's like that first half was pretty amazing. How many freaking yards did Gibbs? Amon-Ra.
I think Amon-Ra had 100 by halftime.
He did.
Well, I think most of their yards were in that first half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know,
but
you can't win them all.
No, you can't. It's fine.
Yeah. No, I mean, the Lions haven't won back-to-back games since week 5, so they've been a 500 team since week 5. But they haven't lost back-to-back games either. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss.
That's true.
And now it's going to be win, and then hopefully win-win.
So if you're a betting man, the next week is a sure thing.
This is best betting edge in football, or in all sports.
The Lions off a loss?
Yeah.
God, it's just...
It's frustrating.
I don't want them to waste a year with all the talent that they have in this roster.
I know.
I know there's some injuries.
It's hard not to, like, start getting that creeping in thoughts about, like, okay, so, like, what if we just draft, you know, like,
The problem with the Lions, too, these injuries are never just, like, they're out a game, they're out 2 games. No, it's just always season ending.
Yes.
They know. It is.
God damn it.
And Kirby,
why don't
like...
they just...
Branch, Laporta, Kirby. I mean, it's ridiculous. We're losing all our,
so
like, our best
players. Then it's, like, you know? The time of Brock Wright. Oh, no, now it's was quick time.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't last long.
Hey, who'd have thought Brock Wright would have been such an important player? The way
it's the time of Dwelly, and then I don't even know if he's on the team
Zylstra
anymore.
Zylstra,
so our tight ends are literally just that's like a legion of whom right now.
Dwelly didn't play in this game.
No,
is Ferkser
Zylstra and Ricci?
Ferkser,
Ricci, that's the guy.
Ferkser's kind of been around the roster for a bit.
Yeah.
Ricci made an impact by having a holding call and a huge play. So that was his impact play.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, that's why it's like this team, they just got to find the momentum at the right time. I think even with these tight ends, like, they got, it's a scrappy bunch, you know? Like, this team, this whole team, they have the firepower still. It's all there. So they just need to, if they catch fire now, win these last three games, I think going into the playoffs, and, you know, no need for bye week. Let's get in that wild card round, fuck shit up, and just keep going. That's what I think.
I agree.
About to happen.
Campbell, the master motivator. This is his chance now, man. Three games left in the season. Somehow light a fire under these guys and get them playing. Just get them playing with a, like, just with, you know, hair and fire kind of shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they need to do. You know, they can beat any team in this league, any team on any given day. So, three games, baby. Just win out and let the rest take care of itself. We can do it.
Fast and loose, baby.
Yep. Yeah, so the Bears, they crush the Browns, who are just an atrocity of a organization.
Horrible. Hey, great defense, though, right? Hey, it's almost like when you have a good defense but the offense doesn't help you, you get ran out of the stadium.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the Browns?
Yeah.
Just a good example.
Their defense was not good in this game.
No, they weren't in this game.
They do have one good player, Miles
their
Garrett.
Their so-called good defense is hardly ever good because they get no help.
Well, two, yes. Yeah. And I'm not discounting what you're saying, but the impact you're saying overall on our defense.
No, we're further along the scale. It's not like
– you know, I used to think the Lions were cursed, but the Browns might be even cursed worse than
– cursed.
They're so bad. They're really bad.
Yeah, it's a tough watch. It's a tough watch.
Yeah.
31-3, the Bears win. They moved to 10-4. They are now the 2 seed in the NFC. Yep. And if the Rams lose this week, I think they could be the 1 seed again. I don't know how that works. I don't know how the Seahawks would be. But then if the Seahawks were to lose, then the Bears take them over. Or something like that. It doesn't matter. They moved to 10-4. They're back in top of the NFC North because the Packers lose to Denver. And, of course, we lost. And the Vikings, they won on Sunday night, but they are eliminated from the playoffs, so it doesn't really matter. But J.J. McCarthy is looking better the last 2 weeks for them, so the Lions might be facing a slightly better version of him.
We get the best of J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, right. I know. Go figure.
I'm okay with it. We need to beat him. There's no way.
He's played two bad defenses. The Washington and Dallas are going to be the two worst in the NFL. Two of the worst in the NFL, so it's hard to completely.
Where's our defense, dude? Didn't you like? Were you?
Well, yeah. If we, yeah,
Yeah.
What?
Miles Garrett, half a sack away from the NFL single season sacks record.
If I'm a betting man, I'm saying he's getting that record.
Yeah.
He's a beast.
Easily.
Although, has he had a sack in every game this year? Let me see. No, he didn't have one for three games.
Is Hutch still trailing Muhammad?
He has a game with 5 sacks and a game with 4 sacks this year.
Hutch is the pressure king. He gets no sacks. He just gets pressures.
Ooh, pressure kicker. I like it.
He's the pressure king.
I do wonder how does it count if you run by the quarterback as a pressure?
Which he does like every play, it seems like.
I swear.
I mean, you can't fault his effort. He's like, and he finally, it took him half the game to figure out Stafford's naked bootlegs. You know, but even when he figured out the naked bootleg, Stafford still completes the pass to the tight end and he gets a big game.
I know, it's so frustrating.
It was very frustrating.
Stafford played good.
He's the heavy favorite
to an MVP now.
I'll tell you what, it's funny watching Stafford and Goff. Now, both of them played great games in this game, but to see the ball come off their hands, like Goff's little wobblers, and though albeit accurate wobblers. And Stafford just these beautiful tight spirals. It's just I don't know. It's just different, you know. That's all. I don't know.
Take it for what it's worth.
It doesn't matter.
Well, we know Stafford's good. He's a good player.
He's a good player. God damn it.
Teeth and all.
Yeah. Well, that's what he does. You know, sometimes he shines his smile and it blinds the defender. Momentarily.
It's like a flashbang grenade.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know, then the defender goes like this, and they can't say that. That's what happened. There's more to it. It's not just as, you know.
I can respect the strategy to replace your teeth in order to get an advantage on the field.
You see Justin Jefferson, too, with all freaking diamonds in his teeth and he's probably got a couple $100,000 around his neck and that game, you know, that necklace, he's wearing a diamond necklace, and He smiles. He's got these diamond teeth and stuff like that. What the hell? You know, I don't know. It's weird, man. Just weird.
Welcome to the new age, EJ.
Yeah, I don't. I'm old school. I just don't get that stuff. But it is what it is. I guess.
I don't know if is bling old school. I'm pretty sure there's some pretty audacious bling.
So, Justin, you had a enjoyable afternoon yesterday. I would take it.
It was mostly enjoyable. The first half was a little rocky, but I didn't like the defense getting torn up. But the Lions' game plan was good. They attacked the cornerbacks. The Rams cornerbacks who were terrible since whole secondary has been bad since Quentin Lake went out. But so that was a good game plan there. You know, they just couldn't find that third option once like the Rams kind of adjusted in the second half and they were able to get a little bit more pressure and the Lions could not just like adjust. And I missed like the fourth quarter because I was I had previous plans, but rewatching the fourth quarter, it's interesting to see how like the Rams just kind of like stole like the Lions' identity of like, you know, being this hard running team and then just owning the line of scrimmage and just kind of just like just wound down the clock. And the Lions could have had a chance to like come back and like tie it at the end for like the last 2 minutes, but they just couldn't stop them on those couple run plays, and that was kind of just like the end. It was just interesting to see, you know. So
what you're saying is they gotta just throw away the record book in this game, you know, when these two teams get together.
Yeah, they do.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, God, I saw the record book.
Yeah, and watching both these teams, I think it's like I think it's just been like kind of like, I know like the it's just interesting to see how these teams to just operate, you know, like just like the Rams are just so efficient and clean, like they know exactly where the ball is going every single play. And on the offensive side of the ball, and they just execute at such an efficient level. And I think the main part about what the Lions have done versus what the Rams have done, just the Lions haven't executed this year at all. And
this is turning into a Rams channel.
Okay, all right. That's
I'm just telling you the differences of the teams that I saw.
I just asked for like a two word answer, and you gave me like a
yeah.
That's okay. Oh God! But, God. Didn't we lose a bet to you too, Justin?
That goes on the
yeah, Rams. Yeah. You said if the Rams won that you would write the Rams fight song since the Rams don't have a fight song.
Oh jeez.
Write a little fight song for the Rams. I think
I did. Rams.
When I watch Stafford and the Rams play, it makes me happy and gay, and it makes me want to dance, and the dance is called the puka, the puka, the puka, the puka. Come and take a luka, a luka, a luka, and watch me do the puka, the puka, the puka. It makes me want to puka, a puka, a puka. When I do the puka, woo! Go Rams! There, I did it.
That was great. God. That was great.
That was something. Is that what you're expecting, Kid J?
Yeah. No, but it was great.
That's the Rams' new fight song now.
Oh my God.
There you go.
That's funny.
Okay.
We're working on that phrase.
I don't know where to go from there. I don't know. Well,
it's like an on that note.
You mean you were in a daze? Is that what
I was in a daze? Yeah, I was in a daze.
The Lions are pretty much battling with the Packers and Bears for the 7th seed. It's more the Packers are like -1100 to make the playoffs. They have the tiebreaker for the Lions. They're pretty much not chasing Packers. They're pretty much chasing the Bears at this point. So we have the route to the Bears to lose on Saturday. So go Packers.
It's pretty simple. I really can honestly see the Bears losing their next three and us winning their next three. Period. Game over. We're in.
It's pretty simple. Over. You kill the Batman.
Yeah. I'm looking at the 49ers schedule. They play the Colts, the Bears, and the Seahawks. That's a tough one, too. So one of these teams could falter. That, I mean, that's why the Lions just need to finish the job. They got
to
finish
the job. Everyone else
a million kneecaps.
Everyone else has to do things to maintain the status quo. Like, a lot of things are going to change in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
UJ, though, if Goff gets hurt, they could call you up for a quarterback like this.
Well, yeah, you know.
I don't know. You've been a little longer than him.
Philip Rivers. Shout out to Philip Rivers, man.
How cool is that?
Five
he actually played
years
confidently.
Out of football, 44 years old. Comes back in and almost pulls out the win against a really good team. Wow.
Insane.
Fantastic. Shout out to him.
They were winning with, 40 seconds left?
Yeah, less than that, I think. That game-winning field goal was with, I forget what it was, but yeah. Wow.
That's got to be such a motivated O-line. Like, you do not want to be the O-line that gets the old man quarterback killed.
Right.
That is like, so funny. Coaching high school football for the last few years, he comes out. That's just so Great story.
For now, he's got a.
Now he's like the oldest in history now, right? The oldest starting quarterback in history, I think.
I think Brady played at 44.
Brady retired at 40. Brady retired at 45, I believe.
Oh, 45.
Yeah, Brady was old.
What was George
Blando
played
at 44 too?
He played quarterback.
Watch Brady come back now, just to.
Yeah. Great idea. Brady should do that.
Well, I also read, so Philip Rivers has 10 kids, right? And in the NFL, you get your insurance covered for 5 years after you retire. So now, because he came back to the NFL, he gets to restart that clock.
Oh, my God. Wow. Great.
Those kids are expensive, you know?
They are. 10 of them. Got to be really expensive.
Apparently, he coaches his kid's high school team, and he has weekly calls with the head coach anyways, so like, and they run the same offense, so that's why.
Supposedly, his son is pretty good quarterback, too, from what I hear.
I wonder, does he throw it like this?
I know. Rivers has that weird
throw. So
it's just
motion.
So crazy to me that like there's a team in the league that's so desperate at the quarterback position that they would sign a dude in that age and timeout, like.
Right.
Like you're telling me there's no like young option like right now.
Well, Riley Leonard was healthy enough to play in the game, but they wanted Philip Rivers
really?
To play instead.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed because I was kind of a Riley Leonard fan and I kind of wanted to see what he could do, but that's
you're
right.
Up on him
the Philip Rivers.
Wait, you did? Fun. Did you ever give your opinion about Notre Dame not making the college football playoff?
Oh, if you want my opinion, I'll give it to you. I think they got robbed not getting in it. However, I do think they were kind of like pouty little children not playing in a bowl game, and I think they were kind of a little pissy in their reaction to it, but I think they got totally robbed. I think they deserve to be in it, personally. I think they got – I know they lost their first two games, but they're really close games against top teams, and then they got better and better as the season went along, and they were destroyed everyone in their path after that. And I just think they deserve to be there. And the rating system is so – freaking weird. I mean, how do you get jumped after the last game of the season like by a team that's behind you? It's just it doesn't like there's no logic to what they're doing. They just make up their minds to do something a certain
way.
Yeah,
I didn't mind
it.
The decision, but the fact that they had them rated above them for like 2 months and never lost and
right
and then jumped them the last time was
super so
what do the ratings mean if they just can be like
right, they're meaningless.
It's basically meaningless. Basically meaningless. I was happy to see Mendoza win the Heisman. I thought that was pretty cool.
It was cool.
I thought he deserved it. Good job on his
part. KJ, you have a thought on the matter?
You were UJ. You were asking about George Blanda. He played until age 48 in 1975. He threw three passes for the Oakland Raiders.
There you go. Wow. George Blanda. Wow, 48. Wow. What a stud.
His first season was 1949 for the Chicago Bears, and he ended with the Raiders.
Wow. That's amazing.
He retired in 1959, and then he came back in 1960 and played in the AFL before the NFL and AFL merged together.
Yeah. He was also a kicker and a quarterback.
Love football
and
so much.
But yeah, UJ, Notre Dame, like they lost to Miami head to head, so I never understood why Miami was behind him in the first place.
Well,
so
why are they ahead of him in the? I know, I get that they lost him in the first game of the season,
But didn't like Tulane make it in and stuff too?
Well, they had to because of the rules. It's the top five rated conference champions. So you ought to get an auto bid, and Duke was the ACC champion, and they had five losses, so they weren't going to be rated above.
Yeah. We were too far down in all those, the whatever those lucky get-ins or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, they had large ones. Yeah, they were the next team out.
So they bumped Notre Dame.
They should probably go to 16 teams, let the SEC get four, the Big Ten get four, the Big 12 get two, the ACC get two, and then the four at-large bids, and then you go from there. The 16 teams,
wow.
That's it.
Where would Notre Dame fall in that? That
would
be
they would, since they're not in a conference.
They would definitely
be
in if that was the case.
By the way, I am a Notre Dame fan, but I think they should have joined the Big Ten a few years ago. And for some reason, I get why they stayed independent. I mean, I get, but I think
they get a boatload of money.
They do
from NBC.
It's very much a money thing, but
absolutely,
and it's dope too because we're independent, baby.
I know. Well,
I guess. I mean, it hurt him in this case.
Well, you know, but that's it. There's different challenges to it. Because, like, you know, you might get a conference championship game that either helps you or hurts you.
Well, it definitely hurt him in this case.
Didn't hurt Alabama. They got fucking blown out. Blown out for their third loss. And then they still make
it.
Right. So go figure that one out.
In the conference championship?
Yeah, they got blown out by Georgia. For their third loss. And
they played an extra game because of the conference championship game.
What were they ranked going into that game?
That's the other thing. They beat a 500 Alabama team and leaped Notre Dame in the ratings, too, which was weird.
It's all weird. None of it makes sense.
Again, closed door reasoning doesn't make any sense.
No. It's, you know. Unfortunately, you know, college isn't even college anymore. It's another pro sport level. These guys are all getting paid big money. And,
this new NIL stuff. It's a whole
like thing. Lenora Sellers, who's going to be like probably a top 10 draft pick, is going back to college because he's probably getting $4.5 million in NIL money.
Oh, my That's God. Insane. See, I mean, look at that. I don't know. It's great. It's such a crazy system right now.
I think it's like the smart teams will capitalize on this moment. Like the smart programs realize like this is like a wild west right now. And if you roll with the punches and do some smart moves to like get NIL money rolling in for your players.
Oh yeah, that's why Texas Tech is so good this year. They spent the most of anybody in NIL, and they went from like a 500 program to being a top four seed this year.
LSU gave Lane Kiffin $25 million of spending money to spend on players.
Well, like. I would integrate the whole school. I'd have, like, a social media department for each of my athletes so that, like, or, like, the majors in the social media, like, marketing, they would, like, manage the athletes' social media pages, help them milk their NIL for everything they can, get, like, agents and stuff. You could build, like, a whole business school around helping your athletes' NIL.
That's actually not a bad idea.
You do that, like, use your young minds to power it and, like, get money just flow into these guys. Like, D3 could do this shit now, too. Like, there's no cap on D3. This is everywhere. I think the smart schools are going to get creative and get money flow into these guys, and you can start attracting better athletes.
I know.
And that's where I think some, like Texas A&M, right? You said they've made a jump this year, or Texas.
Texas Tech.
And
A&M too, but
I think you can see some smaller programs make some bigger leaps if they're clever.
You're right. I mean, it is trickling down to D3, and you know, us being ex D3 players, I mean, we're seeing it having our alma maters right now, and it's there is a trickle down effect,
it's
a concern.
World.
It's
not
it's
trickle
definitely
down.
A concern with D3 programs. I mean, you're going to see certain schools that are willing to, you know. Hey guys, play. They're gonna have the advantage, and it's gonna be.
But that's why you gotta get smart. You gotta get smart with it.
That's why it's good to have a successful
marketing.
Alumni.
It's NIL. It's licensing. It's image licensing. It's getting money to start flowing in. Make marketing deals with these people, with your athletes. Get them.
Hey, but if you're D3 or D, it also it encourages you to or motivates you to get like. Guys that are smart and gonna you think are gonna be successful later on in life because those could become like
Well, that, powerful yeah, alumni. That's, you're right. They, you're not wrong about that.
They'll get back to the program.
You're not wrong about that.
I think that's a long-term thing. It's newer right now, so you're kind of relying on whatever. Wait, it's kind of already come through. But
say that again, Z. If they...
I'm saying when you, a factor for some of these recruiters, now, not maybe not the head coach, because maybe they're not thinking 10 years down the line, but if you're like a president or an athletic director, you probably want to have some criteria for bringing in the best and brightest into your program, because they'll be successful after they leave the program. But if you have a strong alumni, they're going to want to donate back to the program and contribute to the NIL.
No, that's true. That's true.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Texas Tech, the reason they have so much money is because a lot of their donors are billionaires that struck rich in oil in Texas. So they have one of the richest NIL because it's like nothing for those guys, essentially. BYU, the CEO of Crumble is like donated hundreds of millions.
Isn't
dollars
that just called dowry? Wait, so dowries can just pay straight to NIL now? Because isn't that what that you're talking about? Like a dowry, there's, like you're. Donated.
I'm just talking about alumni is donating.
Yeah, that's what a dowry is. Like, isn't that what a school dowry is, or is it
endowment?
Endowment, you're talking about.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
No, yeah, that doesn't have to do with NIL. I suppose they,
although it is part of it now, it is, but like schools can pay the players now.
That's
a whole thing. We could go on for 2 hours.
Yeah,
so I'm going to wrap it up here. But Notre Dame just got to win their games and they should be in. But anyways, I think we're going to wrap it up here. Instagram at Drinking Pool Kool-Aid, Twitter/X at Drinking Lions.
Yeah.
YouTube at DTBK_Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on this game.
Share your thoughts.
Let us know if you heard of this guy named Aleem McNeil who plays for the Detroit Lions.
Oh my gosh.
And your thoughts.
And also you can download the Rams new fight song on YouTube.
I heard you can make a custom jersey online that says McNeil too.
With the big Z Aleem McNeil.
I don't think the Lions sell it in the store yet, but maybe that they got word that this guy plays for them now. Maybe they'll sell it.
Yeah. Tell Big Z to back off our boy Lee.
And download the Rams new fight song on Spotify.
Yes. So. Yeah, producer
sing it again,
put it up later.
How's that go again, UJ?
Well,
Puka Luka.
How does it go again?
Puka. Come and take a Luka. While I do the Puka, a Puka. It makes me want a puka. Oh yeah!
There you go.
Yeah. On that note, that's an on that note moment.
It is not on that note. Spotify app, wherever you get podcasts. Please download. Please subscribe. Please leave a review. And that we of course want to thank our producer, the aforementioned Kid J.
Crushing everything. Someday we'll get that right.
You won your bet. Congrats to your Rams. On that, we'll be back later this week previewing the biggest game of the year. I know we said we got to make it to the playoffs, but the playoffs start now.
Yep.
For the Lions. Yeah. They have no choice. They got to win out. So the Lions got to win.
Got to win out.
Why am I drawing a blank? They got to win 7 in a row to win the Super Bowl. And it starts this week.
Seventh one is the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Doable.
They had won 4 playoff games, the last 3 regular season games.
Go, baby.
Doable.
All right.
Here we come.
Doable. Yep. That's what we play for. All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate it. We'll be back later this week. And last but not least, as always,
go.
Charging team that will not yield, and when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave, rock, 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 go hard, win the game, with honor you will keep your fame, down the field and gain, a Lions victory,
go!
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.